Welcome back to The Animal House. I'm Sam Litzinger. Many know Priscilla Presley as an actress and, of course, as the former wife of Elvis Presley. But recently, her lesser-known work as animal advocate has moved into the spotlight. We find out why in this conversation with Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society of the United States.
You and Elvis were both horse people, I understand.
Yes, we were, very much so. I would ride my quarter horse, and he rode the beautiful Tennessee walking horse. He's had a couple of them, and we would ride them on the grounds of Graceland. And that was just a pure love of Elvis's, to be able to show his horses and have fun with the fans as they all gathered around taking photos. It was quite the thing back then.
Mm-hmm. And how did he decide on Tennessee walking horses?
Actually, Wayne, it all started with Carbon Copy. I'm sure you're familiar with that horse. He was the 1964 World Grand Champion Tennessee Walking Horse. And Elvis heard about the horse and how beautiful it was. So we drove into the farms of George Lennox at the time. And Elvis and I would go, a couple of times a month and visit him. He was so beautiful. And when we started riding horses, that's what he first bought, a beautiful quarter horse Rising Sun, and then he wanted to get a horse that looked very similar to Carbon Copy, and that's how it all started.
Did he give you your first horse? Did he introduce you to horses in terms of having one in your life?
Yes, he gifted me before Christmas. Before it was a surprise. He went and bought a four-year-old quarter horse, a beautiful black quarter horse with a little white stocking, and his name was Domino.
Priscilla, I'm not telling you anything you don't know because you've really immersed yourself in this, but Tennessee walking horses, not the majority, but a portion of them, in one sector of the show world, endure severe abuse to perform what's called the big lick, which is this very high stepping gait that's induced by injuring the horses.
You know, there are shows all over that don't use these tactics. They have a natural gait anyway. So this is, unfortunately, in a state of which I come from and lived there for years and go back and visit the state of Tennessee.
Most people have never heard of this and don't know the details.
Right.
And you gave us a real shot in the arm by coming to Capitol Hill and lobbying because of your star power and your history with this horse and your connection to Tennessee. How was it in Congress? Had you ever been there before to lobby on an animal welfare bill?
No, I've never lobbied before. This is all very, very new to me. I realized that in Washington, you know, there are a lot of things that they deal with, a lot of bills that come to the table. But my concern is that they really don't know what it's about. And they see these other bills that have come up that say they're going to stop the soaring. Or they have other tactics or other means. They'll say that they'll use a technology that will point out the soaring, which is absolutely nonsense. You know, there's loopholes in these bills that are on the table, and the PAST Act is the only one, you know, that can really do anything to stop it. You know, obviously there are things to hide, and this is something that I've observed for myself. That's the concern I have right now with these other bills that have come up saying, you know, that they'll take care of the soaring, they still want to self-regulate, don't take that away. Of course they don't want you to take that away because it's big money for these people. You know, for the price of a ribbon, for the price of a trophy, for ego, you know, for profit. I'm a bit embarrassed. I mean, we definitely need to end Tennessee's reputation for tolerating this cruelty to animals. I mean, the stigma of soaring has cost this breed so much of its popularity, and the PAST Act will end it. Here it is, Tennessee's state horse. Now it can be known for its gentleness and versatility instead of all the torturous training. If Elvis Presley knew that his horse was soared or anything of the kind of any abuse to any animals, he would never, ever allow that. Ever. I mean, we were so naive back when we saw Carbon Copy. We had no idea that there was such a thing called a big lick. It was just beautiful. You thought, how in the world are they getting like that? But, you know, being naive and just thinking it was natural.
Well, listen, Priscilla, I can't tell you how grateful we are, and we're so lucky to have you as an advocate for animals, and what a great, articulate voice you are. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Wayne.
There are three kinds of animals who come to the gentle barn. The first are those we nurse back to health so they can live a full, vibrant life. The second are those who came to us in the final stages of their life to die a dignified death surrounded by love. And the third are the animals who find their way to us to learn a life lesson. Katie had arrived at the gentle barn furious at the world. She'd been used and abused for so many years as a pony ride horse and had simply had enough and decided she hated humans. In her first weeks and months at the gentle barn, she'd reminded me of a wrinkled old lady with a cigarette hanging from her mouth who screamed expletives at anyone who passed. In horse, this translated as biting or baring her teeth. What she didn't know was that a life lesson awaited her. She was going to learn that not all humans were abusive and that there was love for her in this world.
That's the voice of Ellie Lax, founder of the Gentle Barn Animal Sanctuary, which has saved the lives of thousands of animals since 1999. The Southern California nonprofit also provides safe haven for many at-risk teens and special needs children, and it's become an important destination for hundreds of thousands of animal lovers. Ellie's written a book, My Gentle Barn, which weaves together the story of how the barn came to be, what it is today, with her personal journey as well. Describe the gentle barn for us.
We have 170 animals. We have horses, cows, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, turkeys, peacocks, llamas, dogs, cats, a donkey, and a parrot. We work with inner city at-risk kids. We work with special needs kids. We do school field trips, Girl Scout troops, Boy Scout troops, homeschool groups. There's a whole array. And of course, we have a big volunteer program. So there's a whole array of people coming from all over Los Angeles to come and be with the animals. And typically, most people have never met a cow before. They've never pet a pig before. Some of them have met horses, but certainly no one has ever cuddled a turkey before. So the experience of the gentle barn is one that really is just once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Do you remember the actual moment when you said, I can do this, I can create the gentle barn?
Yeah, the gentle barn was my dream since I was 7, and it kind of started as a temper tantrum to my parents. I would yell at them, you'll see, when I grow up, I'll have a huge place full of animals, and I'll show the world how beautiful they are. And so it started from that temper tantrum as a 7-year-old. But of course, I didn't exactly know how to get land or money or raise farm animals, so it took me a very, very long time to do it. And the exact moment that the gentle barn actually came to be a reality was about 15 years ago when I discovered a petting zoo I had never seen before. And what I saw there, I'll spare you the details, but there was a lot of abuse and neglect going on there. And sick to my stomach, I was running for the door, and there was a goat that was blocking my way. And she was in terrible shape and looked like she was about to drop over any minute. But what was different about her than all the other animals is she looked me right in the eye, and she seemed to be asking, please, can you help me? Can you get me out of here? And I was so struck by the intensity of her gaze that I literally could not leave her there. And I asked the owner of the petting zoo if I could have her, and they said no. And I asked her if I could buy her, they should name their price. And they said, no, lady, just get out of here. But I just couldn't leave her. So I told them, look, I told the goat I was going to help her, so I'm going to stay here till you say yes. And I stayed there for 12 days. And on the 13th day, the lady said, lady, take the goat and get the heck out of here. And months later, she was bounding around the backyard as happy as can be. I was so elated to have done a rescue job to its completion that I went back to the petting zoo and I started bringing animals home from there that were sick or crippled or needed help. And it was about a few months after that I was looking out my window to my very small backyard full of animals. And I said to myself, oh my God, I think I just started the Gentle Barn.
Ellie Lax is founder of the Gentle Barn Sanctuary in Santa Clarita, California, and author of the new book, My Gentle Barn. Thank you very much for being with us in the Animal House.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Gary Weitzman answers your questions about pets and wildlife next in the Animal House.